Luther's Reformation, the posting of the 95 Theses on the door of the church at Wittenberg. And that stirred, I hope, within us, not just our congregation, but within us, capital C Church, a re-reformation. It was a reminder, in particular, of the five solas of Scripture. Sola is Latin, of course, which means only or alone. Those five solas are sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus, sola scriptura, and soli Dei gloria. By grace, through faith, in Christ, revealed in Scripture, for the glory of God. Last week, we talked about the importance of adhering to and embracing and living out in our lives today these five statements in particular. We catch up with Paul today, again in the book of Philippians, as he's writing to his friends, this church in Philippi. He has told them, as he has this argument against the Judaizers. Do you remember these folks of ours, these Judaizers? The Judaizers are Jews who were encouraging the Gentiles in Philippi who have come to Christ to also be circumcised and begin to live out the law as a declaration or as a proclamation of their faith. But Paul has said, and he said very clearly, that they are in Christ Jesus and they are free from the law. The Judaizers stand on their adherence to the law. They've been legalistic and fundamental in following it. And for them, this becomes the way they are made right with God, their works righteousness. But now Paul shifts gears a little bit, and he says to these Judaizers and Philippi that if you want to argue Jewish living and Israel's practice, well, guess what? I have you beat there also. You remember playing on the playground as a kid? I was really fast when I was young. Not so much anymore. I'm not really much of a runner. You know, I only run when I'm being chased now. But as a kid, I had a lot of energy and some giftedness in running. And so we would have these running drills, I guess, or practices, and I would beat most, if not all, of the other kids. And I remember saying, "Nanny, nanny, nanny, I'm faster than you are." Have you ever done that before? Yeah. I think you did that last week, didn't you, Paul? The reality is, though, that we take pride in those things that we can do well and in our accomplishments. And see, this is really at the base of the Judaizers' encouragement of the Gentiles to go under circumcision. It's their pride. It's their pride or confidence in the flesh. And Paul says, well, if anyone is going to have confidence in the flesh, it's me. And then he gives this list of his confidence. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That's when the Jews were to be circumcised. He says, I am of the people of Israel. I too, says Paul, am one of your people. But even more than that, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, he says, a Pharisee, not only in practice, but also in training. Paul was trained by the quintessential teacher of the law, Gamaliel. He says, as for zeal, well, guess what? I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. I was zealous in my faith as a Jew. And he says, lastly, and as for righteousness based on the law. And now we see what Paul is getting at. As for righteousness based on the law. Because the Judaizers were saying we are righteous because of our law adherence, because of the way we live according to the Torah. And so Paul says, according to your criteria, I am, did you pick up on the word? Are you following along? Are you paying attention? I'll lower the bar. Are you awake? Faultless. Faultless. I have lived the law faultlessly. And so Paul says, I am a Jew of Jews. Where did this pride come from in the Judaizers? Two places. First, the pride of nationality. You see, Israel was, is, and will be always God's chosen people. And say, so they could claim, we are God's people. Look at what God has done through Israel. They were confusing nationality with Christian righteousness. They were confusing nationality with Christian righteousness. Now, that doesn't happen to us today, does it? Wait a minute. You see, there's a big difference between nationalism and patriotism. One author writes, patriotism is the love and affection one feels for their country. The feeling of patriotism is based on the values a country espouses and the way it strives to improve. Patriotism is based on the belief in the inherent goodness of the system of government in a country and the goodness of its people. Yay, patriotism! I fly two flags at the house, one in the backyard, one in the front yard. I am a patriot through and through. But the Judaizers were taking it a step further. They were not just patriots, they were nationalists. Nationalism is rooted in the belief that one's country is superior to all other countries and carries the connotation of disapproval of other nations or a rivalry with other nations. And isn't this what was happening there in Philippi? It's exactly what was happening. Nanny, 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 we're of the chosen and you Gentiles are not. And so come, be one of us. You're less than, yes, but by circumcision, you can be made right with God. Paul says, no, it's not our confidence in the flesh, but our confidence in Christ. Here's Paul's point. And if you don't remember anything last week or this week or in the weeks to come, remember this. What does Paul's point is this. What does nationality or religiosity, that's the pride of religion, have to do with Christian righteousness at all? If one is made righteous by grace through faith in Christ as revealed in Scripture for God's glory, the five solas. We get tied up in both, don't we? Even today. We get wrapped up in nationalism, proclaiming we're the best and God is for us. We also get tied up in religiosity, don't we? Whatever that looks like. That's confusing fundamental legalism for the practices and rites, forms, sacraments, and observances with Christian righteousness. I do church this way, and it's the right way. You do church that way, and it's the wrong way. Paul is speaking out against those Judaizers. And he's saying, what has worked in the past no longer works for the future. And what has worked for the past? Well, living according to the law, of course. But since Christ has come, the law has been abolished. No longer are we living out our righteousness according to the law, but God has set us free from the law that we might lean into and live by the grace that's found in the person and work of Christ. And that person and work has come already. And so Paul's second emphasis here is the future is present. The past, that is confidence in the flesh, has no future. But the future, that is confidence in Christ, is present. It's already here. Paul says things like this in verses 7 and 8. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss. What is more, I consider everything a loss. I consider them garbage. And frankly, that word in the Greek is much harsher than garbage. This is what Paul's talking about. The upside-down kingdom of God. What looks right to us in our human wisdom is flipped on its end in the kingdom of God. Remember the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes give a very clear picture of kingdom living, of what it looks like to be in Christ Jesus, to have no confidence in the flesh, but to have confidence in the one who is incarnate, made flesh. You see, Paul is turning on its head confidence in our own doing. We have pride in our own doing. The Judaizers had pride in their own doing. Well, look at me. I'm circumcised on the eighth day. Look at me. I give a tenth of my income to the church. Look at me. I pray out loud. I fast so others can see. I'm of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. But in the kingdom of God, Paul says, all that stuff is loss. It means nothing. It's garbage. But conversely, confidence in Christ alone is gain. Paul says, for the sake of Christ and because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, I want to know Christ. You see, confidence in the flesh is all about our doing. But confidence in Christ is all about our being. Doing or being? Confidence in Christ is a positional confidence. I have been saved by grace, through faith, in Christ, as revealed in Scripture for the glory of God. All five solas. I've been saved by grace, through faith, in Christ, revealed in Scripture alone for the glory of God. Isn't that the gospel, not only of the Reformation, but of the God of the universe? And this kingdom, this salvation has already come. Notice in verse 10, the being verbs of Paul's righteousness. Not the doing verbs of Israel, but the being verbs of Paul's righteousness through Christ. He says, that I might know the power of the resurrection. You don't do anything to know. You just know. You sit in that space. Like the psalmist said, Psalm 46:10, this little moniker, this verse sits right in front of me so that as I get wrapped up in the doings of church, that I may be drawn back to being with God. The psalmist writes, be still and know that I am God. He also talks about participate in Christ's sufferings, to become like Him in His death, and to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You see, Paul is speaking a very clear, a very simple, a very concise gospel of grace And this grace has come. This grace permeates our lives. And then number three, Paul says, the past, confidence in the flesh, has no future, but the future, confidence in Christ, is already present, and it will be forever. Paul, in a moment of humility, of understanding his own walk with Christ and kingdom living, says, not that I've already obtained all of this. You see, Paul had obtained all of this, Israel's righteousness. But Paul, as he leans into the grace of Christ, the confidence in Jesus alone, has not gotten there yet. And so he says, I haven't obtained this or have arrived at my goal. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So what does he do? He says, I press on, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead. I press on. This is what the prophet Isaiah encouraged Israel with, the words of God thousands of years before. God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In his book, Whatever Happened to the Gospel of Grace, Rediscovering the Doctrines That Shook the World, James Montgomery Boyce writes about the five solas, the truth of the gospel. He says, chief among the truths Christians need to recover are the great Reformation doctrines summarized by the well-known solas, sola scriptura, sola Christus, sola gratia, sola fide, sola Dei Gloria. He continues, without these five confessional statements, Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, and glory to God alone, we do not have a true church, and certainly not one that will survive for very long. For how can any church be a true and faithful church if it does not stand for Scripture alone, is not committed to a biblical gospel, and does not exist for God's glory? A church without these convictions has ceased to be a true church, whatever else it may be. Friends, it's time to stop resting on the past, our own confidence in flesh, and to begin living in the grace of Jesus Christ with pride and confidence in our Savior alone. The five solas of the Reformation, I believe, are leading us into today a re-reformation. The question for you today, the question I hope you'll consider this next week, is simply this. Will you be re-reformed? Amen. Please stand now as together we sing our hymn.